session number 16643, reel 1.
Air Commodore North Lewis, reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born, actually, in Dunbar, in Scotland, where my father was stationed in the First World War.
But is your family of English or Scottish origin?
No, my family is Welsh. My grandfather was a coal owner, and we had coal mines in the Rhondda Valley in Wales. But I've never lived in Wales. I've always lived in England. I was born in Scotland.
And which year were you born?
I was born on the 13th of March 1918.
When and how did you come to join the services?
In 1938, I was on holiday with my family in Scotland, and Chamberlain arrived back from Munich waving that famous piece of paper and saying it was peace in our time. And I said to my family, in that case, this means war, and I must go back to London and join the Territorial Army.
Why did you assume that because Chamberlain said peace, it meant war?
Oh, I think the arrogance of youth.
How did you go about joining up?
Well, I got back to London, and approached the London Scottish, but they did not have a vacancy, and so I went to the Queen Victoria Rifles, who had their headquarters in Davis Street, and applied for a commission with them. Fortunately, when I was at school at Marlborough, I had passed Certificate A, which entitled me to a commission in the Territorial Army, should I ever want one. The Queen Victoria Rifles eventually had a commission, and I was commissioned into the 2nd Battalion Queen Victoria Rifles at the beginning of 1939.
Now, the Queen Victoria Rifles, to me, are famous for having been sent by Churchill at the last minute to the defence of Calais. Was there ever any question of your going to that?
Yes, in fact, we were at that time in Essex, and we received orders to move from Essex to Calais to join the division that was being sent over for the protection of Calais. On our way, they discovered that the 1st Battalion, Queen Victoria Rifles, were at Paddock Wood in Kent, and so they substituted the 1st Battalion for the 2nd Battalion, all of whom became prisoners of war.
The 1st Battalion?
Yes.
How then did you come to be in the RAF?
In 1940, the Air Force were short of officers, and they suggested to the army that some army officers might like to second to the Air Force and become pilots. We were down in Herefordshire at the time, and I was rather bored, and so I applied, and at the end of 1940, in December 1940, was accepted and became a pilot officer in the Royal Air Force. Secondment meant that I, in fact, retained my army rank, and although I was then given an Air Force rank.
What did you think of the quality of the training that you received in the RAF?
Well, it was very quick. I started my training in the end of December 1940, and I was in a squadron, in a Blenheim squadron, by August 1941.
Did you consider the training to be adequate for what you had to do?
Yes, I think it was adequate for what one was going to have to do. Unfortunately, after my flying training, which was on magisters and then masters, and we also flew Hurricanes at Hull Evington, where I did the flying training school, I was posted to Old Sarum, which was equipped with for the operational, which was an operational training unit, which was equipped with Lysanders. And I was then posted to what I was told was a Lysander squadron, number 13 squadron. When I arrived at the squadron, which was based at Odium, it was to discover that they had been re-equipped with Blenheims. So, in fact, I was trained on single-seat aircraft, and my first taste of a Blenheim, I was trained on single-engine aircraft, and my first taste of a twin-engine aircraft was when I arrived in the squadron. Moreover, they had no dual aircraft, so having been shown the controls and having been told by my new flight commander that the only difference between a single-engine and a twin-engine aircraft was that you had two throttles instead of one, off I went to solo to see how I could perform.
Before we get into your work with that squadron, had you experienced any of the bombing of Britain by the German Air Force?
No, I mean, one knew about it, but most of the time, when I was serving with my battalion, we were way out in the country and saw little or heard nothing about the bombing.
How did being with an Army Cooperation Squadron suit you?
It was fine. I'd hoped, in fact, to have gone to Bomber Command, but naturally, being an army officer, I was sent to an Army Corps squadron, and 13 Squadron was a fine squadron, of which I enjoyed immensely, with a great bunch of people. We were based at Odium, and I was with them for a year. At the end, we were sent off to Wattisham to take part in the first 2,000 bomber raids.
Why had you wanted Bomber Command?
I just felt when I was at flying training that I was probably better in a thing like a Lancaster than I would be in a fighter.
Can you take me through your memories of the 2,000 bomber raids that you took part in as much detail as you can recollect, please?
Yes, we... one day at Odium, I can't remember, it was May, I think, 1942, at Odium, we received orders to deploy to Wattisham, and eight aircraft and crews, flew up to Wattisham. On landing there, we were met by the station commander, who asked why our aircraft weren't painted black. We said we were a daylight squadron and didn't fly at night. Well, he said, you better get them painted black, because you're all off to fly at night and take part in the 1,000 bomber raid. So our aircraft were all sprayed black. We took the opportunity on a couple of nights before the raids took place of getting in some night flying, because we had done very little. And in fact, I went on the first 1,000 bomber raid, I think I had 7 hours night flying on a Blenheim aircraft. Anyway, we set off on a nice moonlight night from Wattisham to attack St. Trond Airfield just outside Cologne. Whether or not we found St. Trond, I don't know, but we found an airfield close to Cologne, and we dropped our bombs, hopefully, on the airfield. We then returned at reasonably low level, about 2,000 feet, back to Wattisham, where there were a vast number of aircraft calling up, asking to land at Wattisham and the other airfields in East Anglia. As far as I was concerned, the whole trip was without incident, although the out of the eight of us who took part, we lost two crews. Two nights later, I think it was, we went on the second 1,000 bomber raid, again against Cologne. Again, we were targeted on St. Trond Airfield. Again, we had no difficulties ourselves and went there and back, landing again back at Wattisham. But again, the squadron lost two more crews. So out of the eight aircraft that went from Odium to take part in the 1,000 bomber operations, we lost four, and the four of us then returned to Odium.
How much German opposition did you experience on the two raids?
I myself experienced none. I wasn't attacked either by night fighters, nor did I come under anti-aircraft fire, although I saw other aircraft being coned by searchlight and obviously being attacked by anti-aircraft fire.
Was there any sense of a big occasion with on a, these 1,000 bomber raids?
Oh yes, very much so. I mean, every aircraft that could get into the air took part, from training command, we from Army Corps Command, although we weren't a night squadron, and every aircraft the Bomber Command possessed. I mean, it was purely a political propaganda exercise. From a war point of view, I don't think it really had a great deal of merit.
But at the time, did you feel that you could inflict some kind of knockout blow?
Not with the Blenheim, which I think carried 2,000 pounds of bombs. One trundled across to Germany and back again with very little hitting power. I mean, the Blenheim did not compare, of course, with the Lancasters or with the main Bomber Command force.
What was it like flying the Blenheim in those days?
It was a good aircraft. We were equipped with the Blenheim 4, which had a crew of three, a pilot, a navigator, and a rear gunner who sat in a turret on his own behind the cockpit, a rotating turret, power-operated turret. It was not a fast aircraft. I suppose it's difficult to compare with these days and those days. It had a minimum bomb load, as I say, of about 2,000 pounds, I think it was. It was underpowered slightly, so that to get it off the ground, you always had to pull the lever, which gave you an extra boost. But it was reliable, and I enjoyed flying it.
It seems that if this was the May 1942, this was the same time as the German Air Force were launching the so-called Baedeker raids on the cathedral towns of England. Did you feel in any sense that you were retaliating for those?
No, I mean, all I felt was that we were given a job to do and got on and did it, you know. When in those days, I mean, I was only, 23, I think, 24, one didn't really theorise on the implications of the war at all.
Was it an enjoyable time for you serving with 13 Squadron?
Yes, there were a great bunch of people, and some of whom I've kept in touch with all my life. I thoroughly enjoyed it. They were a great squadron. The only problem was that we really, except for the 2,000 bomber raids, never took part in operations. The squadron eventually then went off, I think, to North Africa after I left them, and did extremely well.
Now, how did you leave that squadron and go to a new operational squadron?
Well, I was almost, I suppose I'd been with them a year. A vacancy came up at the School of Land Air Warfare at Old Sarum, and where they'd just set up a flight to do some trials on the kind of tasks that Army Corps Command would be undertaking. And the squadron commander of this trials flight was a chap called Bill Blackwood, who'd been the deputy commander of 13th Squadron, and he asked me to go along and take part in these trials. The trials flight was equipped with Mustangs and Tomahawks. I was there for about a month or so, and then a vacancy, a flight commander's vacancy, came up in 26th Squadron, which was the Mustangs, Army Corps Squadron, Mustang Squadron, based at Gatwick. And I was asked whether I would like to go to 26 as a flight commander, and I rather naturally said yes. So off I went to Gatwick and joined 26 Squadron.
What did you think of the Mustang to fly?
I thought it was without a doubt the best aircraft I flew during the war. It was slightly unreliable in that the ones I flew were equipped with the Allison engine, which wasn't as reliable as the Rolls-Royce engine with which the later Mustangs were equipped. It was fast. We operated at low level. It had a very good firepower. I think it had 4.5s and 2.3 guns. It had very long range and was ideal for the type of operations it was that we were going to undertake from Gatwick. It was very stable, a good gun platform, ideal aircraft for intruder operations.
How were the intruder operations carried out?
The intruder operations were carried out on days, they were all daylight operations, carried out on days when there was cloud cover, so that if one was bounced by enemy fighters, one could pull up and get into cloud and had a good chance of escaping. We either operated in pairs or singly. We would go across the channel at 0 feet over the French coast, and then at about 200 or 300 feet attack transport, trains, barges, that type of thing. And we generally operated down in the Paris region.
Can we go through the operations that stand out particularly in your mind in detail, please?
I carried out quite a large number of operations. I can't really remember any that were terribly significant. They were all of a similar pattern. One crossed the French coast at low level, hoping not to be bounced by enemy fighters, flew down along a predetermined route which took in the Seine or one of these rivers or the railways. The moment you saw a train or a barge, you wheeled in, attacked it with your cannon, went on and looked for more. When your time was up, you turned round and flew back again, hoping that the weather hadn't closed in behind you and that you would be able to get down at your airfield.
Who did you normally pair up with?
Oh, I was a flight commander, so I always took one of my flight with me. It could be anybody, anybody in the flight, generally one of the more junior officers or the more junior pilots, to show them the, you know, what we did and how to do it.
How did you divide up the work, if there were two of you?
Well, the number one did the map reading and made the decisions. The number two was there really to give him cover and to keep his eyes skinned to see if there were any enemy fighters about. So the number one was the leader, the number two was the backup.
Which did you prefer, working in pairs or as an individual?
I quite liked working as an individual because you didn't have to worry about anybody else. Generally, your number two was a bit inexperienced, and so one had to keep an eye on him and make certain that he didn't get into trouble. When you were working on your own, you obviously had to keep your eyes very much more open to ensure that that you weren't going to run into any trouble, but you didn't have anybody else to worry about.
How much enemy opposition did you run into?
A certain amount of flak. I was never bounced by enemy fighters, in actual fact. One occasionally saw them and got out of the area, but they never saw me. And on the whole, the squadron, although we did quite a large number of operations, we lost very few.
What would have happened if you had come across, say, a 190?
Well, depending on, I mean, if there was only one, one might have had a go at him. I mean, the Mustang was a good fighter, good endurance, and a good, as I said, a good firepower. If there'd been more than one, one would have used one speed to try and get away and get into cloud cover. Our Mustangs had been derated so that they gave their maximum speed at about 2,000 feet, and therefore were very fast low down.
How much damage do you think you did to the enemy on these intruder wings?
Very difficult to say. One obviously damaged a good number of trains. It must have made the train drivers very wary. I don't think at all that we denied the German, the German-French transport system denied them transportation at all. I think they were largely pinpricks, as so many of the operations in war are. It meant also that they had to deploy anti-aircraft guns, fighters, etc., to protect their transport system.
Did you ever get any signals from the French civilians or civilians in occupied Europe as you were going over?
No, none at all.
Did the German Air Force attempt to attack Gatwick whilst you were there?
No, not at all.
Which did you prefer, operating with 26 or 13 squadron?
Well, I hadn't done, I'd only done two operations with 13 squadron. The rest of the time with 13 squadron we spent on training. With 26 squadron I was operating a good bit of the time, which I enjoyed.
You got a decoration on these intruder raids. Was it for a specific raid or just for the work generally?
I got a DFC. It was for the work generally. I mean, you know, to encourage the others.
Now, coming on to the last period of operations you did with the typhoons, can you tell me how that transfer was brought about, please?
Yes, I'd been with 26th Squadron as a flight commander, and I was then posted to, I think it was 231 Squadron, with a view to taking over the squadron, which was also a Mustang Squadron, Army Corps. But before I could take it over, 231 were disbanded, and I was asked what I would like to do. Would I like to go on the staff or go to training command? And I said I didn't want either. Could I go to typhoons? I think they were having difficulty in getting sufficient typhoon pilots, and so I was accepted with open arms. I went off to 175 Squadron as a supernumerary flight lieutenant just to learn the ropes. They were based at West Hamnet Hall, which is now called Goodwood Airfield. I was with them for a matter of 2 or 3 weeks, where I did one or two, learnt to fly the aircraft, and did one or two operations with them. And I was then posted as a flight commander to 182 Squadron, which had moved to Herne, just outside Bournemouth.
Why were they having difficulty in getting typhoon pilots?
I don't know. The typhoon didn't appear to be a popular aircraft, and I was told that they were having difficulty in getting people to apply to fly typhoons.
Why should you have wanted to fly them yourself rather than go to staff college or training command?
Strange as it may seem, I rather enjoyed being in an operational squadron.
Because of the excitement?
Yes, because of the excitement. I mean, I was in the war to do a bit of fighting, and the thought of going on the staff or going to training command didn't appeal to me at all.
Now, can you tell me what you thought of flying the Typhoon once you made your introduction to it?
The Typhoon, for the job, Typhoon was designed, as I understand it, as a replacement for the Hurricane, as a fighter, for which it really wasn't a good aircraft at all as a fighter. It was very heavy, or relatively heavy, and not manoeuvrable enough. But it was a good gun platform, and for the job we had to do as a ground attack squadron, it was ideal. It had four 20mm cannon, and was equipped in the end with 860-pound rockets. I flew it for a year, I suppose, and really became very fond of it. It stood me in great stead, and I was, except at the very end when I was shot down, it always got me back.
Was there anything you had to be careful of with the plane?
No, it had one major vulnerable spot. It had It had a Napier engine with a huge great air scoop in the front, and a bullet through the air scoop would drain all the coolant out, and that would be the end of view. So it was a bit vulnerable from that point of view. Otherwise, it took a lot of punishment, and one had no problems with it at all.